We're going to continue our series today, and it is called Questions God Asks. Questions God Asks. This is our third week. Week one, the question that we dealt with is, where are you? God asked Adam in the garden after he sinned, where are you? Did he know where he was at? Yes, he knew where he was at. That was a location question, not for God, but for Adam, for him to look at himself, see where he had been and where he had fallen to. And from there, God began to minister, not condemnation to him, although there were some consequences. There's always consequences for sin. Did you know that? One of the reasons that God hates sin is because there's consequences. And they're not always God's doing. Sometimes it's just the way that sin plays out. And many of the things that we see in the world today is a result of the sinfulness of man. Choices that they make, choices that have been made before us, and it just kind of plays out into the world. And people say, I don't understand why God doesn't do something. Well, he did. He did it in Christ. But there are consequences. Even though that God showed grace to Adam and Eve, there were consequences for their sinful choice. And one of the things that God gave man was the ability to choose. And we said this last week, you have the ability to make choices. You can choose your actions. You just can't choose your consequences. And the best way to have better consequences is to make good choices. And when we don't make good choices, there's always a consequence to the choice. So we see that in Adam and Eve. Last week, we looked at the question that God asked Cain, where is your brother? After he had murdered his brother. And we talked about our responsibility to our fellow man, how that our relationship with God is reflected in the way that we deal with other people. How can you say you love God whom you've not seen when you hate your brother whom you have seen? Sometimes I just wonder sometimes if God is not going to play a trick on some folks. Okay? Because, you know, God doesn't really have a body, but he can take on a visage and a form. And, you know, if this prejudiced white guy goes into the throne room of God for the judgment, and there's an African-American, a black God on the throne, or we'll turn it around and say it the other way. If there's a prejudiced person and God is the color of your prejudice. And I just wonder, how can we say we love God when we hate our fellow man? And we really can't say that. So we dealt with our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. How that if we forgive, then God can forgive us. And so God made us to be in community. God made us to need one another. God made us to love one another. So that's our responsibility. Today we're going to talk about Moses. Does anybody like Moses? Moses is a great Old Testament character, and God asked him the question. You remember the question that he asked him? What is in your hand? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Moses had the responsibility of bringing the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses didn't have a high esteem of himself. And, you know, as we were singing that song a while ago about the stars and the billions of galaxies, and if you look at creation, if you've never gone on to the, what's it called? The Expandable Universe. There's a website that you can go on that starts with you or starts with a human being, and it goes out. It starts from the earth, and it goes out from the earth and to the moon, and then it goes out into the galaxy. And the further that it gets out, Earth disappears and just becomes a part of the starry sky. There are billions and billions of stars, and there are millions and millions of galaxies out there. And if you really look at that, you get a feeling of insignificance, that this massive universe that is bigger than we can imagine, and we're in that universe, and we're just a dot on a dot on a dot on a dot in that universe, and you can just feel insignificant until you consider what God set his heart on. And I love this verse in Psalms. I don't have it on the overhead. Let me just read it. It just come to me while I was over there listening to the song. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you take care for him?" God set his heart on us. Out of all of the vastness of his creation, God favored us. He favored mankind. He favored you as a human being. And you figure out how many human beings there are on the earth today, several billion. He knows their names. He designed them. He put purpose in their heart. And yet he works in all of us to fulfill the purpose for which we were designed. Can I just say this? We are special. We are special. We're special to God. And we see Moses going through this ordeal here. See, we have a great, great God, and we're a mere mortal human being. And most of us, I have seen a few people that really think they're all that, but most of us do not esteem ourselves very high. We don't have a lot of confidence. And this is the boat that Moses was in. Moses had, he had a rough beginning. Pharaoh tried to kill all of the babies, and Moses was one of those babies, and he was put in a little basket and put out in the Nile River with all of those crocodiles, and was just set to float in order to save his life. He winds up found by Pharaoh's daughter, who took him in and raised him as her own. Moses was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. And when he realized who he was, he winds up killing an Egyptian who was persecuting one of his fellow Jews. And when they found out about it, he had to flee for his life. He lives 40 years in the desert. And he does what? It's interesting how many times God uses this profession to train people. He became a shepherd. He was keeping his father-in-law's sheep right next to a mountain. God calls him up to the mountain and begins to talk to him, and he begins to tell him what he wants him to do. Now, Moses has seen the power of Pharaoh, the nation of Egypt, and the power of Pharaoh's armies. And he says, "Moses, I am going to send you to bring my people out of Egyptian bondage." Now, he was not able to do that when he was in power in Egypt. But now he's out of power, he's out of favor, he's this shepherd for 40 years on the backside of a desert, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to send you and I'm going to use you to bring my people out." He had no army, he had no power, he had no commission, he had no authority, he had nothing. So we're going to begin reading in Exodus chapter 3. And Moses asked God questions, and then in a minute, God is going to turn around and ask him a couple of questions. Because this kind of shows where the heart of Moses was at. And I think we can identify with Moses. Moses becomes one of the greatest leaders in the entire Word of God. He becomes one of the most powerful men in the nation of Israel. Respected, powerful, influential, but he starts out as this shepherd on the backside of a desert. So he says, I'm going to send you. But Moses said to God, Exodus 3:11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? This is the question. This reveals his heart. Who am I? Don't you know where I've been? Don't you know that I have failed when I tried to deliver one Israelite from an Egyptian, that I failed? Don't you know that I didn't succeed? Have we ever been there? Have we ever been at places in our lives that we had good intentions, we were reaching out to help someone, and it just fell flat? And you wound up fleeing that situation. And so he was very, very aware of his shortcomings. He was very, very aware of his enemy and the task that it would take in order to do that. And he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, now I like this. God makes a statement to him. He says, I will be with you. I will be with you. Moses, now look at this. Moses' view was of himself, and it was not of God. Don't we do that a lot of times? Rather than when God calls us to do something, we look at the task ahead and we look at ourselves rather than looking at God. Who should we be looking at? We should be looking at God. We should be hearing what he's saying. We should be trusting him. You know, after all, we are a people of what? Faith. Faith. And when he says, who am I? Does that sound like a faith statement? No, not at all. And God says, God speaks something to him that is very powerful. I will be with you. Is God bigger than Egypt? Is God bigger than, more powerful than Pharaoh? I mean, God could just take his finger and go, boop, and they'd be gone. He says, I will be with you. Now, God's not going to just go, boop. What does he want to do? He wants to use Moses in order to do it. Now, there's a lot of things that God can do. I mean, he has power to do anything that's possible to do. He won't violate his word. He won't violate his own nature. But he is powerful, and there is nothing that can withstand the power of God. But sometimes God chooses, rather than to explode in his power, he wants to demonstrate his power through a person. In fact, he wants to demonstrate his power through all of us for his glory. God could be glorified without us, and is. But he chooses also, since we are the crown of his creation, is to be glorified through us and through his working in our lives. And here's Moses. He's resisting. Who am I? Who am I? God, what can I do? Look at me. No, God says, no, no, no. You don't understand. Look at me. I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. He says, hey, I paved the way for you. All of your enemies are dead. All of those who wanted to kill you, they're gone. It's in another generation now. Now is the time, and I have raised you up for this time. Look to me. I will be with you. Go. Did Moses jump up and go? No. He's still in this struggle. Here's the second thing he says. He says, I don't know your name. I don't know your name. Who am I? But I don't know your name. Now, in verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and they say, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is your name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you shall say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am who I am. Now, there's a lot in that name. I mean, God has always been who he is and was. He will always be who he is and was. Okay? He always was who he is and who he shall be. He's the God of eternity. There is no changing with God. There is no variation with God. There's a consistency with God. All that he has ever been, he will ever be. And listen, we can take comfort in that today because we read that Old Testament and we see the things that he did in that Old Testament. Listen, he still does those things. He can be to us what we need him to be. Whatever it is that you lack in your life, he is the I am. He says, I will be with you. He said, that is sufficient. I will. I love that. I will be with you. I am who I am. There's no circumstance that is too big. There's no situation that is stronger than what I can handle. I am who I am. What are you facing today? What are the circumstances? What does your Egypt look like? What does your Pharaoh look like today? What is the thing that you're dealing with in your life today that seems bigger than you, more powerful than you? Listen, he still is the I am that I am. I am who I am. Now, we call him by a different name today, don't we? We call him Jesus. Now, is Jesus God? Yes, he's God. He is the I am in the flesh. In fact, at one time he says, I am. And you know what they did? They went backward and fell to the ground. They were hit by the power of God so powerfully that they went back and fell to the ground. He used that name. It got him in trouble with the religious people because, you know, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Now, I had somebody get upset with me one time. They used to go to church here when I called Jesus God. I didn't know Jesus was God. Well, who did you think he is? He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now, if he always was what he is and shall be, is Jesus everything that he was and is and shall be? I mean, does he ever change? No. In fact, we got a scripture that says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what he said? What he said to Moses is what he says to you. He says, I will be with you. What did he say to us in the New Testament? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can we take comfort in that today? I mean, can that be a strength to us in the circumstances and the situations of life that we face today? Absolutely. What is your Egypt? What is your Pharaoh that you're facing? So what God is having to do here, he is having to take Moses from a place of very little faith to a place of faith. Was Moses a man of faith? Absolutely. But he didn't start out that way. Just like me and you. You know, sometimes we kick ourselves because, well, I ought to be further along than what I am. Well, just get up and go. I mean, hey, we all ought to be further along than what we are. So just get up and go in that direction. Head in that direction. Quit making excuses. Put the Word of God in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by doing the Word of God. Okay. Then he said something in chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 4. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?'" Now, there's a little hidden thing in here, okay? What if they don't believe? God could have said, "Moses, I don't think they are the problem. I think that thee is the problem, that you don't believe." Does God ever say something to you that you don't believe? You got quiet. We talk and laugh about Moses, but is there ever a point in your life that you're faced with a circumstance and situation and there's a promise of God and you just don't believe it? I believe we're guilty. I believe that we face that sometimes. I think there are things that the Word of God says that's bigger than where we are. But that does not limit us in our relationship with God. It's called growing in grace and growing in faith. And that's something that we should all be doing. So what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, "The Lord did not appear to you"? Then the Lord said to him, this is the question, "What is in your hand?" What is in your hand? Now, I love this. This is so full of imagery here. What was in his hand? It was a staff. It was a staff. What kind of staff was it? It was a shepherd's staff. What had Moses been doing for 40 years? He had been taking care of sheep. He fell as a power in Egypt because he wasn't ready to take on the role. Evidently, that was already working in his heart, that he saw that the children of Israel need to be set free. And he tried with the arm of the flesh to do that. And when he fell, he had to run. And he spends 40 years with a staff in his hand taking care of sheep. What's God up to? What is God up to with that? Have you ever felt like you've been on the backside of a desert for 40 years? Have you ever felt like that God is anywhere but where you're at? Has it ever felt to you like that God is far away? Huh? Yes, all of us. All of us have our deserts. I remember one of mine. It was called Luann, and that's not a woman. That was a town that my first church was in. I felt like I was on the way, 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 way side of the desert. Had a heart full of desire to do the work of God, and I was in this little old place. I mean, that church was so dead, you'd have to jack it up to bury it. I mean, it was full of old people, and I love old people, but that's all we had was old people. There was five people there when we came, and they were sot in their ways, okay? You couldn't move them with dynamite. But you know, the church doubled when we came. Well, almost doubled. It was me and Kathy and Davey and Kevin, and Joe was born while we were there. So the church doubled. I mean, but the problem was that when the kids misbehaved, Kathy got up and took them out of the service and didn't come back. And we were back down to five. And it was dead. It was horrible. You know what I was doing? I had that shepherd staff, and I was learning how to do what I was going to have to do in the future. I think God was preparing me for here. I mean, I've been here almost ever since. I had one other stop for a year, and then I came here, and I've been here ever since. And this has been a tough place for the first 8 years. It was hell on earth. And if I hadn't worked some things out while I was on that backside of the desert down there in Luann, Arkansas, in South Arkansas, I never made it here. Thank God we made it. I said, thank God. Well, I'm thanking God I made it. I don't know about you, but I'm thanking God we made it. But we all have our deserts. We all have our dry spots. We all have those things that we have to work through, that we wonder, where are you, God? Are you anywhere around? We really don't believe. And God asked the question, what's in your hand? What's he saying? I'm going to take what's in your hand, and that's what I'm going to use. So let me ask you the question today. What's in your hand? See, we're always comparing ourselves to somebody else. If I could sing like so-and-so, if I could speak like so-and-so, if I had the teaching ability of so-and-so, if I, God didn't put that in your hand. He put that in their hand. But he put something in all of our hands, and that's what he wants to use to bring glory to himself. See, he wants to send us to our Egypt. We all have an Egypt. We all have a Pharaoh we have to face. And he wants to send us by what he put in our hands to use so that we can bring freedom to other people. That's what we're here for. That's what the church exists for. There's a lot of people in bondage out there. There's a lot of people hurting out there. There's a lot of marriages in trouble out there. There's a lot of people out there that are addicted. There's all kinds of things going on out there that are not good. And who has the message? Do the psychiatrists have it? No, they got pills. Who has the message? Is it not the church that has the message? The message of grace and faith and the power of God? We're the ones with the message. And you say, yeah, and you're supposed to go. No, I'm saying to you, we're supposed to go. And what does God want to use? He wants to use what's in our hands. He wants to use what's in our hands. So he asked Moses, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. Then the Lord said, throw it to the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Amen. Okay, look at this picture. What did he have in his hand? A dead stick. When he threw it on the ground, it became alive. God can take that which is in your hand that appears dead, and he can bring it to life. Whatever it is in your hand, that you may see it as dead. God doesn't see it as dead. He uses it as an instrument that he can bring life. And he did that. And so the Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and became a snake, and he ran from it. I'm with Moses. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it up by the tail. And I'm thinking, no way, Jose. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Not only was he going to take that stick and prove it to them, God used that stick to prove it to Moses. He took something that seemed dead and brought life to it. That's what he does in our life. Part of your life that you thought was dead is not dead. It just needs God to breathe on it. Amen. And Moses has another objection. Certainly he does. He's just like us. How many objections do we have sometimes when the Lord is nudging us to do something? Well, Lord, who am I? I can't do it. Excuses. You know what excuse is? It's a reason stuffed with a lie. That's all it is. And he goes on to say, guess what, Lord? I'm not a good speaker. Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant. Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow with speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gave the human beings their mouths? Who made your mouth? Why did God design a mouth? To speak? Can God take an available mouth and speak through it? In fact, he told some of his people, said, in the last days, they're going to bring you up and they're going to accuse you, and said, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, I'll put it in your mouth. All God needs is a mouth to speak through. There's times, and I'm not saying this with pride or ego, there's times that I say things that I don't intend to say, that I feel like that God speaks through my mouth because I'm not that smart. Did you know I'm not that smart? I'm not that smart. And there are times that God says things through me that I didn't say. It didn't come through my mind. It come through my heart. So it's not about eloquence at all. Dear God, nothing about me is eloquent. But God can use something that is yielded to him. Well, Lord, I can't speak like Billy Graham. He didn't call you to be Billy Graham. He called you to be you. And God can put in your mouth what needs to be said. Now, you do need to read the Bible. You do need to know what the Bible says. God's got to have something to work with. You just can't play stupid. You just can't play dumb all the time. No, he's not just going to open your mouth and fill it. There's got to be something in there for him to draw out of. So Moses runs out of excuses. Now, I love verse 20. I love this. And this is where we're going to today. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Did you get that? What did Moses present to God? A shepherd's staff. What did God give back to Moses? The staff of God. And Moses took that stick and he waved it, and God worked. He stood at the end of it. He stood on the banks of the Red Sea and lifted up the stick, and God parted the waters. It became, that shepherd's staff became the staff of God. And that's what God wants to do in us. So many times God will ask you a simple question. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Who made your mouth? He asks questions because he's trying to bring us into a place where we will release our faith and let him use us. God doesn't need a whole lot to work with. There's an old song, Becky, little is much when God is in it. Did you hear that? Little is much when God is in it. God can take little and do much. He took five stones and a slingshot and killed a giant. He did. He took five loaves and two fish and fed a multitude with more left over than they started with. There was no magic in the five stones. There was no magic in the loaves and the fishes. The thing was, it was faith in what God had said that caused there to be abundance. And that's what God wants to do in all of us. Amen. Y'all made me work hard today. Let's stand. Prayer team, would you come? We got time to pray. We always got time to pray, don't we? Sir said we got to have time to pray. What did the Lord say to you today? It's not important what I said. It's what God said in here. What is it that God wants you to do? Who am I, Lord? No. It's, I will be with you. That's the thing we need to know. It's not who you are, it's that He will be with us. So let's answer the question back to God today and allow Him to use us in a mighty way. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to your people, into their hearts and lives today. Accomplish your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever you need today, come and receive it from the Lord. If you need to make Jesus Lord, come do that today. Come and respond to the Lord.